O Lord, thou art the Spirit of God. I enjoy thy marvelous ability.
Don't you like that? It's wonderful because you get to call on the Lord and sing at the same time.
Amen.
O Lord, thou art the Spirit, how dear and near to me.
How I enjoy.
I enjoy thy marvelous. Let ye, sisters,
so available.
O Lord, thou art the Spirit, how dear and near to me. How I enjoy thy marvelous availability.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Saints, if we really see clearly that the Lord today is the Spirit, mingle with us in our spirit, we will never stop rejoicing. Our whole life will be jubilee. This is the truth. This is the truth. So sisters, sing it again. And brothers, do some rejoicing.
Oh, Lord. O Lord, thou art the Spirit, dear and near to me. How I enjoy the availability.
All I can say, coming to this message, it's titled, you know, The Life-Giving Spirit in Our Spirit. This great truth is the hallmark of the Lord's recovery. This is the hallmark of the Lord's recovery. This truth has revolutionized my Christian life. Because our wonderful Christ is so near, dear, available, experientiable, touchable, kissable, lovable, mingleable, and all the other kind of bowls. Amen, because He's the Spirit.
Amen.
Because He's the near, dear, wonderful, life-giving Spirit. So, the life-giving Spirit, who is the all-inclusive Christ. We've spent two meetings on the all-inclusive Christ. And now, the life-giving Spirit, who is
Amen.
The all-inclusive Christ. We don't want to just hear about a wonderful, all-inclusive Christ, but not be able to experience Him. So this wonderful, all-inclusive Christ, who is all-inclusive, all-extensive, and unsearchably, untraceably rich, is the wonderful, life-giving Spirit!
Amen.
So the wonderful Father, with all of His riches, are embodied in the marvelous, all-inclusive Son as His embodiment. And this wonderful, all-inclusive Christ with all of His unsearchable riches is able to reach us as the wonderful, life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
So the life-giving Spirit, who's the all-inclusive Christ, is the consummation of the processed and consummated triune God. So our wonderful triune God has gone through a process, and there's been a consummation to that process, gone through many steps. Praise the Lord, He stepped from the heavens to the earth. He stepped into man. He stepped through 33 and a half years of God-man living. He stepped to the cross. He stepped into the grave. He stepped through death and Hades. He stepped out of the grave, stepped to the earth, stepped into the heavens, stepped past the heavens, through the heavens, and far beyond the heavens. And in this whole process, he became the life-giving spirit. Then whoever calls on the name of the Lord, he'll step into you.
Amen.
Everybody who has had the God of this universe step into you, say, Amen!
Amen!
And every time you call on his dear name, just give him a little ground in your being, a little opening, he is stepping. Stepping a little more into your mind, emotion will, into all of our being. Thank the Lord for the wonderful processed and consummated triune God. He took so many steps and consummately became the wonderful life-giving spirit. So the all-inclusive Christ is the life-giving spirit. The life-giving spirit is the all-inclusive Christ. So we just have to thank the Lord for this matter of the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery is His move to bring us back to Himself and to His heart's desire, which is His body. And the Lord's recovery is to bring us back to the beginning, back to the simplicity, and back to His original intention. And to back to the truth, the great truth of God's economy, which is full of nothing but the triune God who is embodied in the all-inclusive Christ. Now this wonderful all-inclusive Christ today has become the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this is the best news in the universe.
Amen.
I hope this never becomes just something we hear. Christ became the life-giving Spirit. The last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. What's new? What's next? No, the last Adam became a life-giving Spirit! The all-inclusive Christ became the life-giving Spirit. Anytime you hear the Spirit, you should never depreciate this word Spirit. When I grew up under the influence of King James Version of the Bible and many people not knowing who the Spirit was. And even the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, called the Spirit in Romans 8:16, it. That really puzzled me. It. And then there's other verses that said ghost. You put ghost together with it, and I was a little afraid of the Spirit. And then there were weird concepts about being filled with the Spirit, filled with the ghost. I remember spending, after being a Christian, spending a lot of a night walking my hometown trying to be filled with the ghost, the Spirit, it. All I got was a headache. Because this is an insult to the Lord. The Spirit is not some kind of strange power, strange ghost separate from the Lord. The Lord is the Spirit!
Amen.
This wonderful all-inclusive Christ is the Spirit. And what does Spirit mean practically? Practically it means He's not any longer distant, not applicable, but He can reach us. Thank the Lord, as the Spirit He can enter into us and He can apply Himself to us and He can be added to us and mingle with us, and I like words that are used in many of the hymns, saturate and permeate. Remember hymn 501, verse 7? Thy Spirit will me saturate, every part will God permeate. And that's the way to get delivered from the old man, and that's the way with all saints to be built. If you're not in the Spirit, you don't enjoy the Spirit, you never get delivered from anything old, and you never get built to be the one new man. The Spirit is the key to everything. When you have the Spirit, you have the master key! Hallelujah! A key is what's needed, really, for going on in a good way. We need this key. The key is Christ as the life-giving Spirit. So, our wonderful triune God with His economy, which is full of nothing but the all-inclusive Christ is applied to us and realized and enjoyed by us as the wonderful, life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
So, O Lord, Thou art the Spirit, how dear and near to me. How I enjoy marvelous availability. So you can't help but say, oh, He's a wonderful Spirit in me, us. He's the wonderful Spirit. Look, the triune God is in the all-inclusive Christ. The all-inclusive Christ, the all Spirit in us. Hallelujah! So the wonderful God, who was at one point far, far, far away, not only, as I mentioned, in John 1:14, it says the very God of this universe, embodied in the Son, became flesh. And John 1:14 says, tabernacled among us. Sorry to say, many Christians just long for the fact if Jesus could just be among us. But the Lord is insulted by that. He went through death, entered into resurrection. He became the life-giving Spirit so He would no longer just be among us, but He would be in you.
Amen.
He would be in you. Not among us, just for us to try to a copy. But in you!
Amen.
So that He could make us the same as He is.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
He and we could be absolutely one. We could be His enlargement. We could be His expansion. We could be His reproduction. We could be His duplication. So that when people see us, they see Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
So He's been processed and consummated to become the wonderful, life-giving Spirit. So, 1 Corinthians 15:45 is a great, great verse. First, in John 1:14, this all-inclusive Christ became flesh. But through death and resurrection, our Christ became the life-giving Spirit. Life-giving. Until He became the Spirit, He could never give life to us. Life was altogether uniquely with Him. We have to thank the Lord with a million, quadrillion, zillion hallelujahs. That life is not just within Him. He is life. He said, I am the life. But because He became the life-giving,
amen.
Life-giving,
amen.
His content not just to be life, He wants to be life-giving.
Amen.
So He became the life-giving. Giving Spirit! Wow. So turn to your neighbor and say, hallelujah, neighbor. Christ is the life-giving Spirit. And the best way to enjoy this life-giving Spirit is to call on His name. Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord! So I'm so happy He is not an it, and neither is He a strange power or ghost, but the Spirit is the Lord.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3:17 says, and the Lord is the Spirit!
Amen.
Pneuma, air, breath, so available to experience. And praise the Lord, we were created as a tripartite being, and our spirit, created by the breath of God, and the breath of God and our spirit are just identical. We're made to receive this wonderful Spirit. So the Lord became the life-giving Spirit, and the Lord is the Spirit. So turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, hallelujah, the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
Now let's read 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Those are awesome verses. Very helpful. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Thank you, Lord, for these words. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Should we read with a strong spirit? And the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, the glory of the Lord, formed into the same image, so in 17 it says, the Lord is the Spirit. At the end of 18 it says, He is the Lord's Spirit. Amen. This all-inclusive Christ is the Lord Spirit. And just treasure the word Spirit. Spirit means reaching, applying, entering, mingling, saturating, soaking, permeating, transforming. Making us the same.
Amen.
Don't you love that word in this verse? The same. Into the same. Everybody would like to become the same as Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
You'll never make it by imitating. You'll just be frustrated and say, I quit. But hallelujah, because He's the Spirit,
amen,
we can be transformed into the same. We can become the enlargement of Jesus. We become Him, not as an object of worship, but we become Him in our constitution by being filled with Him as life, filled with His life, filled with His nature, His element, His essence, His expression, so that we can be His enlargement for His testimony.
Amen.
Praise the Lord! So this wonderful, wonderful one who became the life-giving Spirit is the Lord who is the Spirit. And I like this last phrase. He is called the Lord Spirit.
Amen.
He is the Lord Spirit. So this means He's very, very experiential. Thank the Lord that He's not just far away in the heavens. Neither is He just objective, far away. Neither is He just historical, 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago He was here. Many dream to go back, try to spend time in that kind of atmosphere. I'm not for that dream. I'm here thanking the Lord to the uttermost. He became the life-giving Spirit!
Amen.
And He is the Spirit.
Amen.
And this wonderful Lord Spirit is not just among us, not just around us. He's not just your neighbor. He is in you.
Amen.
Oh. Do you believe that God is in you?
Amen.
Oh. If you see this truth about the Spirit, you will never stop rejoicing.
Amen.
I don't know if we really believe. We may still have an objective Christ, but the Lord is somewhat offended if we just have an objective Christ. He wants us to see He is the Spirit.
Amen.
And He's in you, and His goal is to make us the same.
Right.
And it's possible. It's possible because He took all these steps. Amen. So that He could be our life and our everything. So we better sing 10:17 again. With the whole, well, sing it strongly. Christ has put on human nature and become a man like me. He has died upon the cross that I from
Adam might be free.
He has risen and the Spirit
has
come to live in me that He might
be my life.
When He spreads out, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. For what? Christ is now. For what? For Christ is now my... Do you believe that? You better tell your neighbor, neighbor, I believe that Christ is now my life. That is awesome. And then verse 2, same words, and then the chorus changes because victory. Not only is he spreading into our soul, but victory means, ooh, he's going to give us a new body. We'll be the same as he is, victory. Christ has put on human nature and become a man like me. He has died upon that I from Adam might be free. He has risen the Spirit. He has come to live in me that he might be my life. Victory, victory, hallelujah. Victory, victory, hallelujah. Victory, victory, hallelujah, for Christ is now my, yeah, not just my life, but my all. Victory, victory, hallelujah. Glory, glory means expression. Glory. In Indonesian, muya muya. Muya muya, hallelujah. Muya muya, hallelujah. Muya muya, hallelujah. Christus lahai et ku. Where's Didymus? Oh, there he is. Yeah, amen. We were singing last night. Praise the Lord. The wonderful God of the universe became flesh to be among us. Many Christians still would like to just have him among us. Let's have Jesus in our Bible study. No! Let's have Jesus in us!
Amen.
As our life!
Amen.
Nothing can get closer.
Amen.
And as life, he can make us the same!
Amen.
When Paul was going through many things, eventually his living was so one with the Lord that he was just Jesus living again on the earth in his divinely enriched humanity. That's awesome. Wonderful. So I hope you really enjoy these three verses, 15:45b, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now, the Spirit of God has been processed through Christ's death and resurrection to consummate in the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
He was the Spirit of God when he created, but he was not known as the Spirit yet. We'll touch this. Okay, there, at that point, when the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters, and the situation in Genesis 1, he was a spirit just containing divinity. But now, number one, apart from such a process which means what? Our Christ became put on human nature. God became a man. Lived a God-man living. There's incarnation, human living, and a crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, so many ingredients were added to God, including becoming a man. Apart from such a process, there would not be a way for the Spirit of God to become the life-giving Spirit. I always love John 7:37-39. 37 says the Lord Jesus in Greek. It says the Lord Jesus stood and screamed. It literally, he screamed. Can you imagine? God in his, God as a man screamed. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Then he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of water of life. Living water. And then, verse 39 you need to pay attention to. Verse 39 says, for the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The things he was speaking of were concerning the Spirit, but the Spirit was not yet. And I just love the little illustration, not yet. He was the Spirit that's needed for carrying out God's eternal economy was not yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified, meaning the process had not been consummated. And it meant still more ingredients. Thank the Lord that this wonderful God who is awesome became a man, so the ingredient of not only the complete God, but the perfect man were added together.
Amen.
Then all of his wonderful human God-man living, then all the blessings and benefits of his wonderful releasing death, they got added. Then the powerful resurrection, his all-transcending ascension. And with, I hope you read those verses this morning, Ephesians 1, 19 to 23. And so many, many, many ingredients were added to this wonderful Spirit so that he could become the all-inclusive Christ who today is the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit. And then the Spirit is yet. And it's like the Lord was in the kitchen preparing a big meal. And at a certain point, you check and you ask your wife, "Dear, is the meal ready? You got some brothers in the living room that are hungry." She says, "Not yet." She says, "Not yet." Why? Because the meal's not done. There's a few more ingredients. So in John 7:39, not yet. But now!
Amen.
But now the Lord is the Spirit!
Amen.
This wonderful Spirit, this wonderful, wonderful fattened calf has been slaughtered. Everything is ready. The food is ready. Everything is, the dining table is set. He's the wonderful, wonderful, heavenly, all-inclusive meal. And he's just waiting to come into the dining table of your spirit.
Amen.
So that you would become a feaster for the rest of your life.
Amen.
The Christian life says, "Let us keep the feast."
Amen.
Means our whole Christian life should be a feast on this wonderful, wonderful Spirit. Now, the Spirit, who is the reality of God the Father, the Lord, and the Son of God, Christ and Jesus, is the life-giving Spirit for imparting life into the believers. Amen. Even this morning, just because He's the Spirit, brothers and sisters, we're not just getting a little knowledge imparted into our brain. We're getting life!
Amen.
God!
Amen.
Imparted into our being!
Amen.
Because He's the Spirit.
Amen.
How many of you want more God today?
Amen.
It's possible!
Amen.
It's possible!
Amen.
Many people have gone to cemetery. They come out with all kinds of knowledge, arguments, and all kinds of reasoning, and actually end up many times dead, or completely misled, related to their ministry and this kind of thing, and it's strange things have nothing to do with God's economy. But because the Lord is the wonderful life-giving Spirit, oh, this is so good. We realize He's not just for imparting head knowledge, but life. Oh, He's for imparting life. When life is imparted, oh, a person is imparted. And we and he become one entity.
Amen.
Amen. Now, number two, the life-giving Spirit is the life pulse. I like that. Underline life pulse. Run short, sisters, life pulse. Pulse means everything. You know, if you go, you there's no pulse. Uh-oh. You know, Matt and Juan will have to carry me out of here. No pulse. Right, Libby? Wow. The life pulse is very critical. So, brothers and sisters, that's why we enjoy. Don't you appreciate the Lord's recoveries to bring us back to Himself and His heart's desire? And the vital factors, as we said illustratingly you know, with a physical body are the heart and the brain and the lungs and the kidneys and the liver. You take these away, we're finished. But there's many other things that maybe are not so critical. We'd like to have them all, right? But the vital factors are critical. Sorry to say, for many Christians through the centuries, they've had many things but missed the vital factors. Now the Lord's recovery is to bring us back to the vital factors.
Amen.
The truth of God's economy, which is the triune God Himself.
Amen.
Dispensing Himself. And the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ is triune God's embodied in the Son, Christ. And His wonderful Christ is the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
What a wonderful, 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 wonderful vital factor. Amen. Vital means full of life. What a factor. He's the life pulse, the reality, the power, and the impact of all the doctrines and stories in the Bible. Saints, if we don't see, if we don't contact Christ as the life-giving Spirit, all the stories, all the doctrines in the Bible just don't make sense. If we gather together the various matters revealed in the Scriptures without the Spirit, we'll have a religion. Okay, ask your neighbor a question. Neighbor, what is a religion? What did your neighbor say? This is a very important question. What is a religion? In a simple way, just to save time, religion is worshiping God without any experience, enjoyment of Jesus Christ. So it means vanity. It's vanity. That's religion. So, all the stories in the Bible, all the doctrines in the story, the Bible, without the revelation of the life-giving Spirit, just issue in and become some kind of religion, worshiping God in many ways without Christ as your enjoyment and reality. And so God is not worshiped. God is actually insulted. The only thing God receives is Christ.
Amen.
The only thing that makes God happy is His Son. Otherwise, it is religion. When God became a man, Jesus was on the earth, who were the biggest opposers to Jesus? Religion. Religion! Religion! Even the Jewish religion. Biggest opposers. Because they were missing the person. John 5, 38, 39, and 40 are tremendous verses because here are the religious leaders, you know, trying to give Jesus problems. The scribes, Pharisees, and all these religious leaders were giving Jesus a lot of problems. You know what he said? He said, "You search the Scriptures." That's the Old Testament. You know all the doctrines and the stories. But it is these Scriptures that testify concerning me. But you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. Something would happen inside you. So you don't know what the Bible's talking about. And what was the result? They were one with Satan. Religion became one with Satan. Just one with Satan. To oppose God. To oppose Jesus Christ. May the Lord save us from religion.
Amen.
Everybody that wants to be saved from religion, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, the Lord's not here for religion. He's for reality.
Amen.
So, religion, remember, is the worship of God without the experience and enjoyment of Christ. So it's empty. Empty. So the life-giving Spirit's the life pulse, reality, power, the impact of all the doctrines and the stories. And without this, we just have, without this, we just have a religion. Number two, if you do not have the triune God processed and consummated to become the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit, the stories and doctrines in the Bible will simply be simply a religious ism. A religious ism. Some kind of ism. Okay. Luke, I love Luke 15. Brothers and sisters, this is a story that I experienced when the recovery version first came out. I got one of the first copies. It was a 1985 edition. I had to fly to Nebraska for some of us were working on a gospel team. We're going to the University of Nebraska. And my wife and I were driving to the airport, and we were praying for whoever sat next to me on the airplane, that the Lord would flow, the flow. We had no idea who it would be. Turned out I was sitting beside a Catholic man from Cleveland who was an engineer. He was there in L.A. for business. And we just were conversing a little bit. Then they served us breakfast on the plane, and we're talking. And I had my recovery version open, and I had it open to Luke 15. And he said, what have you got there? And I said, you ever read the Bible? He says, yeah, I'm a Catholic, and I'm responsible, I think he said, for 400 young people. And I just said, you ever heard of Luke 15? You ever heard about the lost sheep? He said, oh, yeah, the lost coin, yep. And he was familiar. I could tell he knew it. He knew it well. I said, ever make sense to you? He said, well, what do you mean? So I just read him a note from the recovery version. That put, because I'd heard many, 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 many sermons. You too, Bob? Many sermons on Luke 15 growing up. I never heard one that put these three parables together. And then the end of footnote 3:1 just says, the entire divine Trinity treasures the sinner, participates in bringing him back to God. All three parables stress the love of the divine Trinity more than the fallen condition and repentance of the penitent sinner. The divine love is fully expressed in the Son's tender care as the good shepherd in the spirits. The one parable touches the spirit. Spirit's fine seeking as the treasure lover and in the Father's warm receiving as a loving Father. When I shared that and just spoke a little bit, he said, where did you get that Bible? First time in his life those three parables really made sense. He realized these three parables signify the triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. All working to gain sinners. To bring sinners into a life of feasting. Anyway, so I was just thankful that this was really the case. Without Christ as the life-giving Spirit, without seeing the triune God processed and consummated and working to gain people, it just remains stories and doctrines. But you see how this wonderful one is operating in his Trinity. And then, you put the Revelation 21. Revelation 21 is about the New Jerusalem, and it's talking about one part talks about the 12 gates on the four sides. Four gates on, three gates on four sides. Okay? And these three gates on the four sides in the New Jerusalem signify God in His Trinity operating from every direction to bring sinners into Himself. And again, you can see the warm, loving, receiving Father embodied in the redeeming Son and operating as the Spirit to reach people, convict people, and bring the people by the Spirit through the Son into the Father. These wonderful gates. These gates are just the wonderful triune God. He's processed and consummated. He's become the life-giving Spirit to reach us and to bring us into Himself. I said, have you ever heard of gates? The gates of the New Jerusalem are not just big, lifeless pearls. And then some guy named Peter is standing there taking your ticket. Said, you don't get in without a ticket. This is a joke. The stories of the doctrines of the Bible, they don't make sense. You just have a big pearl and Peter standing there as an usher saying, where's your ticket? This is a joke. Friends, it's pathetic. But rather you see the triune God as the Father embodied in the Son as the wonderful life-giving Spirit. How these gates are a person. These gates are watching you. And when you make a little turn, these gates run after you. And these gates jump on you. And these gates kiss you on the neck. And these gates get inside of you to enlighten you and enliven you. And these gates are the wonderful Christ, who's the fattened calf, who's slaughtered to become the life-giving Spirit so we could eat Him. In John 6, when He becomes edible, it says He's the Spirit. It's the Spirit who gives life.
Amen.
So these gates can see you. These gates can run. They jump. They kiss you. They put the best robe on you. They put a ring on your finger, sandals on your shoes. And they bring you into a feast. And these gates say, let us eat and be merry. Hallelujah! The gates make sense. The gates make sense. They're a person. Processed and consummated triune God to reach us and to bring us into Himself.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen!
So that we could be components and constituents of the wonderful triune God Himself to be the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, it's just tremendous. Okay. Now, see, as the mystery of God, Christ is both the embodiment of God and the life-giving Spirit. Christ is God's mystery. He's the mystery of God, the secret of God. If anybody wants to know God, they have to know Christ. Because Christ embodies God, and Christ is the life-giving Spirit. He's not only the embodiment of God, just for knowledge, He is the life-giving Spirit for subjective experience. In order to know Christ, in reality, as the embodiment of God, we need to experience Him as the life-giving Spirit. Amen. Many of you, I'm sure you ate breakfast, and the meals up here have been really good, right? And you don't go in there and just say, boy, that's nice-looking food. I'll see you later. Last night, you had all that meat and everything, and nobody just went in there and just said, hello, hi, that's nice food, and see you later. I think it's good, I analyze it. No, we dive in. Dive in and partake and participate and enjoy that food. We experience Him as the life-giving Spirit. Because the enemy, listen, number two is very critical, saints, because the enemy knows the crucial significance of Christ being both the embodiment of God and the life-giving Spirit, he attacks this point intensively. Satan hates that even Christians would know that Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Satan would love you to just have an objective view of Christ. He's still distant. He's just doctrine to you. Not experiential to you. Because once Christ becomes experiential to us, Satan is threatened. Because what God needs is a corporate reproduction, an increase of Jesus, which will tread Satan under our feet.
Amen.
Which will destroy Satan. God pronounced the sentence on Satan at the cross. But the execution of that sentence by the judge needs carried out by those who see Christ as the life-giving Spirit and experience Him. And they become one with this triumphant, victorious Christ who destroyed Satan on the cross. Then the sentence which God gave 2,000 years ago will be executed.
Amen.
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 That's why we're in this conference. We're here to agree with God's judgment, be one with Christ who judged Satan on the cross, and experience Him as the life-giving Spirit, to be one with Him to execute this sentence.
Amen.
Defeat God's enemy and express our wonderful Christ. The life-giving Spirit is actually an extract of the all-inclusive Christ. What's anybody know Colossians 2:9? Just like to ask. It's a good verse. Yeah. For in Him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. This means in eternity past, all the fullness of Godhead dwelt in Him, but after incarnation, becoming a man, all the fullness of the divine Trinity is embodied in Christ. Embodied in Him. But the life-giving Spirit is the extract. Don't you love extract? Extract means concentrated form. Available form. When you get the extract, you get everything. This Christ is unsearchably rich. He is so great, so full. But when you get the extract, you get it all. Amen! In a sense, an orange, is, you may have a big orange, you got the skin and everything. But when you get the juice, you get it all. Juice is like the extract. The concentrated form. And saints, here's a good point. If we really see the extract of Christ as the very embodiment of the entire triune God with everything that He's passed through, if we really see this extract, we will continually rejoice in the Lord till He comes.
Amen.
Our joy will never cease. Everything we need is in this Spirit. That's why 1 Corinthians 5:8 literally says, let us keep the feast. Christ today is the life-giving Spirit. And that's why 1 Thessalonians 5:16, what's it say? Always rejoice! not just rejoice. It doesn't mean just try to pretend to be happy. It means rejoice because Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Our rejoicing is not based on the weather, not on mood, not how we feel, not how great we are. It's based on the facts of the truth. Our rejoicing is based on the facts of the truth. Christ is the life-giving Spirit to be the extract of the triune God embodied in Him. When you get the juice, you get it all. The life study indicates when we see the extract, we will be different persons. Different persons. And that means rejoicing. You cannot stop our rejoicing. Listen, I don't care what you're thinking right now. Some of you may say, my disposition is not a rejoicing disposition. Don't try to change me. I don't care what your disposition is. Whether you're naturally happy or you're naturally grumpy. If you see this truth, you will not stop rejoicing. There is a joy that nobody and nothing can stop. So this is very critical. Very critical we see this. But not only we need to see this extract, now we need to apply this extract in our daily living. Okay. Christ is the God-anointed Jesus passing through the process of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection. Isn't that good? Everything got added, like my wife in the kitchen adding this and that and this and that. When the Lord was being processed through death and resurrection, everything of His perfect humanity mingled with divinity, everything of His death with its effectiveness, everything of His resurrection, ascension, all these ingredients are added to this wonderful Spirit, this compounded Spirit, this extract. In resurrection, Jesus Christ became an extract of himself. Saints, many people do admire to some extent Christ, but we have to thank the Lord for his mercy to us to even uplift our view of how awesome Christ is. According to the Bible, through all the ministry we've heard and the books we have, this Christ is phenomenal. But not only is he phenomenal, he became an extract of himself. That means he's not just outwardly phenomenal, but he's inwardly experiential. He's phenomenable and experientiable. Amen. Anyway, he became an extract of himself, and this extract is the life-giving Spirit. Amen. You know, the disciples in the book of John were just trying to, ooh, please, Jesus, don't go. We don't want you to go. No, don't go. He said, I have to go through death. No. He said, listen, right now I'm with you, but I'm going to become the Spirit of reality. I want to be in you.
Amen.
I don't want to just be with you guys. I want to be in you.
Amen.
Just don't worry. Don't worry. I'll become an extract of myself. I'll get into you. That's the wonderful, awesome, life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
He says, I am coming to you. That's what he said to them. They didn't get it. But I'm coming to you. I'm going to go through death and resurrection, become the Spirit. Ooh, that's the extract. Everything about me will be in you.
Amen.
If they saw that, they would be crazily happy. Because the life-giving Spirit is the extract of the all-inclusive Christ, this Spirit also is all-inclusive. So in this Spirit, Jesus, because he's called in Acts 16:7, the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus. In this Spirit, we don't have to just merely read stories about Jesus. When we get into the Spirit, every bit of Jesus living is there.
Amen.
And now he wants this living repeated. He wants this living lived again, but in and through us as members of him, as his body. So because everything of Jesus in his living is in the Spirit, we have the possibility, like Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. And this means to live Jesus, that is the in his humanity. Then also another verse here is Romans 8:9, the Spirit of Christ. So it's not only the Spirit of Jesus with his humanity, the Spirit of Christ with his divinity. And then how about we all read, let's open our Bible to read Philippians 1:19. Okay, Philippians 1:19. Philippians 1:19. Ready, go. I know that for me this will Amen. Hallelujah for the bountiful supply.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Without being supplied, everything bothers you, irritates you, and just causes you trouble. But when you're supplied, everything's to your satisfaction. No problem. Somebody looks at you bad, something happens bad, no problem. I'm a happy guy. Why? Because I have the extract. I have the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 A guy cuts you off on the freeway in California. Ooh, instead of getting mad, wanting to smash him. You say, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you and I love that guy. And right away, ooh, everything's to your satisfaction. Go ahead, man. Go in front. No problem. I'm willing to even pull off the road. So praise the Lord for supply.
Amen.
Everybody know the chorus of 509? God is in Christ to be my supply. God as the Spirit. If my slim spirit I feed, filled with His life, I'll be. Let's keep feeding on this extract. Lord Jesus, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, Thou art the Spirit, how dear and near to me. How I enjoy Thy marvelous availability. Hallelujah! Now, E, this life-giving Spirit's the reality of the processed and consummated triune God. If we have this Spirit, we have the reality of the divine Trinity.
Amen.
Everybody that wants the reality of the divine Trinity, the triune God, say Amen!
Amen!
If we have this extract, we have the reality. If the goal of God's economy is to work on His redeemed people in order to make them God, in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. This can be accomplished only through, by, with, and in the life-giving Spirit. Praise the Lord! This wonderful, wonderful One is in us. Ephesians 3 says, He wants to strengthen us through His Spirit into our inner man, verse 16, and so that Christ, as the embodiment of the whole triune God, can make home in our hearts. And eventually, 19, till we're filled unto all the fullness of God. Wow, this is all possible through the Spirit.
Amen.
Through the Spirit, we become Him.
Amen.
Not in the Godhead to be worshipped, but in our constitution.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we must become Him in life and nature. Otherwise, we can never express Him. We must become Him in our constitution, otherwise we could never be His counterpart. He's not going to marry something strange. It has to be Him. It has to come out from Him. It has to be His constitution. Praise the Lord! So this wonderful extract, the wonderful Spirit, is able to make us Him. What I never could do, the Spirit's doing in me. That's why He's the wonderful Spirit in me. What I never could do, the Spirit can do. Because He's the wonderful Spirit in us. Oh, this is wonderful. Now let's read Roman numeral 2 together, just the Roman numeral. Go. In the Lord's recovery today, we should pay our full attention to the mingled Spirit. Praise the Lord! So this wonderful One, we need to see Him as the extract. Ooh, this will cause us to rejoice. Not only that, we need to realize this wonderful One is mingled with us in our spirit. So 1 Corinthians 6:17, which is my favorite verse, my book bag already has 6:17 on it, right, Ricky? You can get into my bag anytime. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Here's this brother named Chris Ambler. The Bible doesn't say Chris's spirit, who is joined to the Lord, is one spirit. It says he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The fact that Christ, as the wonderful life-giving Spirit, the extract of the triune God, has come into His Spirit and mingled with Him, causes His entire being to be affected. Because in the same chapter that says, He who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit, it also says, that person who is joined to the Lord, who is one Spirit with the Lord, it says even His body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Said, don't put your body with a prostitute. In other words, don't be joined to something junky. You have to realize, because this triune God as the Spirit, as the extract, has come into you and mingled with you, something has happened to you.
Amen.
You are a different person. Amen. Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah.
Thank you. So, he who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit.
Amen.
This is a great, 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 great matter. Now, Romans 8, 4 says, don't walk according to the flesh. There's many requirements on us, right? Many requirements as a Christian. There are many requirements. If you look at all that's expected of you, say, I quit. I'm just going to do my own thing. But if you see the Spirit, you enjoy Him, He automatically fulfills everything. 8:4 says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Fulfilled in those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Amen.
Every time you take care of your spirit, every requirement that's expected of you gets automatically fulfilled.
Amen.
How many of you would like to walk more according to your spirit?
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
The Lord's desire is that we would be the body of Christ.
Amen.
We would be the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Our mind would be the mind of Christ. This is impossible for us to work out. But every time you take care of the extract, allow Him room in you, enjoy Him, breathe Him, stay one spirit with Him, walk according to Him, walk according to Him. Ooh, every requirement is automatically fulfilled in you. I love this. Ooh, this is wonderful, saints. Now, during our years in the Lord's recovery, we've come to know the Lord is the all-inclusive Spirit. We are one Spirit with Him, and the Lord is now the Spirit dwelling in us. So again, these are verses that we've all read. Paul experienced this. He's in prison. The prison is lousy. But because they were taking care of their mingled spirit, enjoying the extract, prison became heaven. A miserable prison with cockroaches and who knows what else is in there. Ugly, dirty. While praying at midnight or singing hymns of praise. They were dwelling in a 5-star hotel. Because they were dwelling in the triune God.
Amen.
I'd like to tell many stories. I had a lot of application here, but I won't because of time. But this wonderful Christ is one spirit with us. And in a sense, whatever situation you're in, you have to realize the Lord is stuck in you and you're stuck in Him.
Amen.
Say, Lord, we're in this together.
Amen.
We're in this together. He just wants us to be one with Him, no matter what situation we're in. The divine Spirit needs the human spirit to match Him, to be His counterpart, that they could be mingled together as one entity. Let's read C together. Go. The story of God.
God becoming man. That man may become God, dwelling in nature, but not in the Godhead, to produce the body that comes to the New Jerusalem. It's all together the story of these two spirits.
Amen!
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, when we take care of the extract, this wonderful triune God who's everything to us, mingle with us in our spirit, we become a couple. The Spirit and the Bride. Who's the Bride? The Bride is those who love the Lord and live in their spirit. Anytime you're in your spirit, you're beautiful. Anytime you're out of your spirit, you are ugly. Tell your neighbor both those cases. And this is the truth.
Amen. Right. Yeah, that's right.
This is the truth. This is the truth. The essence of the New Testament is the two spirits. The divine spirit mingled with our spirit. Amen. This is the essence. How many of you want to take care of the essence?
Amen.
We're not here for the letter. We're here for the essence.
Amen.
The letter will kill, but the essence gives life.
Amen.
D.E., the focus of God's economy is the mingled spirit. Whatever God intends to do or accomplish is related to this focus. All those verses are from Ephesians. The church is the household of God. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the new man. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the warrior. How can we be all these things? Just be in your spirit. When you are in your mingled spirit, you are automatically the family of God. And you look, you're in this conference and say, wow, what an awesome family. Look at all my brothers and sisters. I'm home sweet home. Amen. Wonderful. And the more I travel, the more I realize, what an awesome family we have. Just unbelievable. Sometimes I'm in tears. Appreciation of God's family. When you're in your spirit, you see, oh, the body of Christ is so real. When you're in your spirit, there's one new man. And that one new man has a unique person. That's Christ. When you're in your spirit, you see a bride. The church is the bride. We're in love. Madly in love. With the most handsome person in the whole universe. Jesus Christ. Oh, and then when you're in your spirit, you are a fighter. You hate the devil. You know who overcomers are? Mainly two characteristics. Lovers and fighters. You love the Lord. You love the brothers and sisters. You hate the devil. You hate the flesh. But if you're wishy-washy, oh, I kind of like the Lord a little bit. Don't mind. I don't mind the world. Self. You'll never go on. That's a life outside the Spirit. But when you're in the Spirit, you become the bride. You love the bridegroom. When you're in the Spirit, you become a warrior. Ooh, you got shoes on. You got a shield, you got a breastplate, you got a helmet, and you got a sword to cut the devil's head off. Let's be in our spirit. The way of much of today's Christianity suffocates the spirit. They quench the spirit. Taking, what does this mean? It means among many Christians, pay attention to many things. Just do this, do that, pay attention to natural talent, natural ability. People with so-called credentials. And eventually this suffocates the Spirit. May this not happen among us. Amen. But it does happen among us. And we need to be those who don't care for this. We're not here for credentials. We're not here for natural ability, talent. We're not here to promote any of these things. We promote nothing but Christ.
Amen.
We want to take care of Him. So we don't want to quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. And let's read G together. The Lord intends to recover the matter of walking according to the Spirit. Without
it, it is impossible to have the church life.
Amen. We want to have the church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this vital factor. Of Christ, the all-inclusive Christ became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
And now he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Wow, and when we're in our spirit, we enjoy everything of God's economy. This wonderful Christ makes us the same as he is. We become his bride, we become his body, and we become his fighting warrior. Jesus is Lord. O Lord, Thou art the Spirit, how dear and near to me we are. How joy Thy marvelous sister standing, brothers rejoicing, praise the Lord, how dear and near, hallelujah. Brother.
O Lord, Thou art the Spirit.
Should we just have a microphone, or should we just where we are? Where the hell? Can we go to 11 for the break?
What do you think?
I mean,
just from the seats. Maybe just from the seats.
O Lord, Thou art
the Spirit. Just from the seats. Just no microphone.
Yeah, okay. We can share for 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Hallelujah! Glory, glory, hallelujah! Glory.
Have us just praise the Lord's Spirit. That compound title. Praise the Lord's Spirit. Maybe once or twice. And then we'll have our sharing.
Oh, okay. What,
praise the Lord's Spirit.
Praise the Lord's Spirit. The Lord's Spirit. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Victory, victory, hallelujah.
How about we just say, hallelujah, the Lord is the Spirit.
Spirit. Amen.
How about three times? Hallelujah, the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah, the Lord is the
Spirit.
Hallelujah, the Lord is the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to take our break at quarter till, so we get 10 minutes, approximately 10 minutes. We're not going to have microphones, so if you want to share for, you know, 20 seconds or whatever, just from where you are, but I encourage you, be aggressive. Somebody should be standing right now. Who's that? Now look at this, Bubbling Bob. Now while Bubbling Bob is bubbling, some others should be standing waiting. And be willing, just care for your mingled spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're not here for right and wrong. We're here for life.
Amen.
So do your best. Amen. This is Bubbling Bob and Mingling Mary.